Amen. Good morning, church. I'm glad we get to lax these a little bit. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Worship, again, I said it in the first service, I'll say it again now, just wrecked me. Shut the mouth of lions. Do what you are famous for. Bring the dry bones back to life. Oh, my goodness. I don't know about you, but I was pretty dried up when God reached down and pulled me out of the muck and mire. And so when I think about that, it ties right into this morning's word. But before we even do that, I want to give thanks to our bishop who's in San Jose this morning, and Mama Kelly and PK and the staff for just allowing me and trusting me to be here. There was a day when you wouldn't trust me to take out your garbage. And that's the truth. But God showed up. And he started moving things out of the way. And he's going to move things out of the way for you as well. So let's just bow our heads and pray for a minute. Heavenly Father, you know that your presence is here. I don't need to invite that in. It's already here. And we ask, Father God, that those who came here this morning seeking something, we come here to receive maybe an encouraging word, maybe a life's transformation. Maybe we're searching and we're looking for someone to change our direction. So I ask, Father God, that you use your word and speak it through me, that somebody, just that one person, catches a glimpse of the love that you have for them, and you turn their life around. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I believe, and I know Bishop and everybody here believes, that if we can change the life of one person, that person is going to change the life of another and another and another, and it just goes on and on and on. We came off a great Sunday, Easter Sunday, last Sunday. He is risen, and he's ready and making a way for you. What a powerful production we had. If you were here, you understand and you saw it. Today's word is titled, Who Do You Seek? Who do you seek? Did you come here this morning seeking somebody, looking for somebody, looking for a touch? Well, that's what the question that Jesus asked Mary Magdalene at the tomb. Whom do you seek? Who are you looking for? And when you understand the context of that, there's so much in it that it can't be presented in a sermon, in one sermon. There's so much in there. So I want to invite you to just take some notes and then go home, because the presence of God and the Spirit of God that's in you is going to want to move you to go deeper, to draw closer. Today's message is taken out of the Gospel of John. I'm old school. You know, people come up here with tablets and iPads and computers, and I got my iPad right here. This is my, and then my mini iPad, right? They got an iPad and a mini. I've got all that stuff. It's all right here, handwritten. And I said this in the first service, I do that because if you give me an iPad, I'll have the tendency to hit that wrong button when I go to transfer and everything's gone. Right? I've already sent stuff into cyberspace and I don't even know how to get it back. So I just leave it alone. That's not for me. Handwritten notes is the way I was taught, and that's the way we're going to go. But today's word is taken out of the Gospel of John. And in chapter 20, and we're going to start in verse 15, and it says, Dear woman, why are you crying? I'm reading out of the New Life Recovery Translation, so that's what we do. That's what me and my wife do. Why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Who are you looking for? Or whom do you seek? Your translation might say. She thought he was the gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. She turned immediately. She turned to him and cried out, Teacher. And she must have, the scripture doesn't say, but she must have reached out to grab him. Because the next sentence from Jesus is, Don't cling to me, Jesus said, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. Then she gave them his message. There's a lot that was opened up to me when I started doing this study. This is a passage that I've read over and over many times. When I first came to church, the pastor that we were connected with, because I walked in and I said, yeah, I know there's a God. I know there's a God because I was able to stay clean and sober. You know, that's my past. I was saved from a life of drug addiction and alcoholism and some other things as well. But I didn't know if God was going to help me. And after a period of clean time, I knew that he was working in my life. I just didn't know who he was at that point. How many know that God can work in your life before you even know him? God's a way maker. God shows up before you even know. If you just have a desire to change anything in your life, God is already starting to move. He's already saying, come on home, son or daughter, whatever the case may be. So he was making a way. And because of him making a way, I started thinking about the life of Mary. That's what really got my attention here. And it was amazing as I started to read this. Like I said, I was going in this direction with the pastor of that church we were going to, kind of where our daughter invited us, asked me to read the book of John because I told him, I know God. I don't need Jesus. I know God personally. And I looked at Jesus as a middleman, right? If you come from my background, there was the connection, then the middleman, and then you. Well, I didn't need a middleman. I want to go direct, right? And I wanted to go direct to God. And he said, brother, just read the Gospel of John, and we'll meet again. And I read it, and I read it, and I kept reading. He was very patient with me. And then John 14:6 jumped out at me. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I read that, and I thought, man, there's something about this Jesus. There's something that I'm missing. And I gave my life to the Lord that day that I understood that. And things started to change. I started seeing things in a different light. I started to feel things in a different light. So anyway, that was something, this is passage, is something that I read many times, but I never understood or never really dove into what Mary was really doing here and her role as a disciple, really as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Following the crucifixion, we all know that when Jesus rose, he walked the earth for 40 days. He continued in ministry, pouring in to his disciples. And before we get into that whole story, I want to talk a little bit about Mary and give you just a little bit of background. In Luke chapter 8, I love this little saying that Pastor Angelo used one day, and I never forgot. He said, it's in the book of Luke, and if you don't know where Luke is, just keep looking, and you'll find it, right? So I say that, and we need to enjoy some laughter, right? There's some new people here today, and I want to say welcome. Welcome to the house of God, to CWC Life. And from where I come from, we say this. If the newcomer or the new person could not see no joy in our existence, then why would they want to come back? This is a happy place. This is a place where you're going to hear the truth, you're going to hear the word of God, and you're going to be loved unconditionally, just like Jesus did, loved unconditionally. So in Luke 8, chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, it said, soon afterwards, Jesus began a tour of a nearby town, of nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took his 12 disciples with him along, here we go, with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. Now it says there was many women that he had pulled into the light and healed whatever it was that they were fighting or what was taunting them. And they became disciples. Now, why didn't we read about that? Why haven't we heard? We've always heard that the 12 were men, and they were. But when I read this, it opened my eyes, and part of it was, as I researched it, that one of the reasons it was never mentioned is because in the Jewish culture back then, women were not supposed to receive any kind of teaching or ministry from a rabbi or from anybody, an official. They were just to be a support. So by Jesus allowing, I believe, by Jesus, and it's written, by allowing these women to walk alongside with him, he was saying that God created us all equal. Man and woman. That a woman, we have powerful women of ministry in this church. Pastor Carrie, Pastor Anna, my wife, Pastor Kelly, on and on and on and on, that bring the word, and rightfully so, because Jesus made that statement right there, showed us in his actions that women carry a message, a powerful message. And as I said in the first service, Wednesday night, we were back to CWC Life on Campus, and women's ministry showed up big. Showed up big. And Pastor Anna had brought, I think, 19 new people into that women's ministry, and I forget how many salvations. So not only women's ministry, but men's ministry, New Life Recovery, married couples, Paragon, young adults, all of them were just alive in the Spirit of God moving through the campus here. And I believe that Mary was so grateful that she was going to continue to follow. That's what it says, that she grasped that they were equal under God. One of the things that I recognize is after Jesus resurrected, after he came back, Mary, without a doubt, was used to strengthen the faith of others. So what she learned and what she heard and what she saw walking with Jesus, she continued to carry to others, just as we're called to do, just as the Great Commission, right? The Great Commission from Jesus was to go out. He told the disciples, go out and duplicate yourself. I'm paraphrasing. Duplicate. Give what I've given to you to somebody else. That's what we do in recovery. That's what we do here. We're one nation coming together, united for one purpose, and that is to carry the message to one person so they can carry it to somebody else. I believe Mary had her hands all around that. I know one thing, because of the way Mary was used in the scriptures, that God had his eye on her and knew the path that she was going to follow. And not only did God have his eye on her, she had her eye on him. Yeah. See, she was grateful for what God had done in her life. It is also noted that Mary was very beautiful, very attractive, very wealthy. But the part that really stood out to me is that Mary knew that her good looks and that her money, that her wealth was not going to buy her the freedom that she found in Jesus. Yeah. She came to that realization. when Jesus casted out those seven demons in her that were ridiculing her, making just a mess of her life, when she came to that freedom, she never forgot it. That's why she went the distance when a lot of other disciples didn't. And I believe that that freedom is also duplicated when John says in 8:36, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Nobody else can set us free from our active addictions, from our lifestyles, from our compulsive abusive behaviors. Whatever it is you struggle with, your freedom is going to come when you give your life to Jesus. Now, he uses many different ways and many different people to get that message to you. He did for me. And he's not going to use or bring us all together the same way. That's why he had 12 disciples plus, to reach those. You know, I can't go out and reach the people that Minister Robert's going to reach, or the bishop's going to reach, or Brother Steve. But if I answer the call that Jesus put on my life, like Mary answered the call, and if you answer that call, then united, we can all do our part. Not worrying about the personalities of this person or that person or anything else. Just focus on the principal reason of why we were put on this earth, and that was to carry the message the way it was carried to us. So did, and I can't in 20 minutes or 30 minutes give Mary the fullness of that her character displays. So we have to just kind of recap a little bit. And we'll start with Jesus found her at her worst. At her worst, and miraculously saved her. You might be here today going through something, and it might not be the worst, the biggest disaster, but Jesus is the one that wants to pull you out. And there's a reason. As we follow Mary's life, she was a faithful follower and supporter. Her actions spoke the loudest. So I'm guessing that maybe she wasn't a woman of a lot of words, but her feet spoke loud. Because she was everywhere that Jesus went. She walked alongside of him. She supported him with everything that she had. Not just the assistance in ministry, but maybe financially. Whatever it took, all her assets were for Jesus. She lived to carry that cross with him, or to carry her cross, I should say. What touched me is how she was at the empty grave, not knowing it was her Savior standing before her. She was so overtaken by grief, she didn't realize it was Jesus standing there until, as we read, and he spoke her name. And when he spoke her name, she immediately turned to him and recognized that voice. And again, reached out to him. Why was Mary so important? Why did he use Mary and not the other disciples? The events of the cross and the disciples and the followers of Jesus Christ were hiding in despair. So the disciples, now we have to imagine that Mary and the disciples, they seen what Jesus went through, even though he had instructed them three times that I will be betrayed and I will be flogged and I will be hung on a cross, but I will rise again. And they didn't get that. They didn't understand the fullness or the depth of that. And that's why this question comes up, or the reason that they were hiding in fear. Fear because they were afraid that they were going to get connected or feel like, okay, well, if they did that to Jesus, what are they going to do to me if I'm a follower of his? Yeah. Mary wasn't like that. Mary wasn't like that. And I understand that fear of the unknown. I think if we're honest, a lot of us have gone there, afraid of what's ahead of us, but we don't know what's ahead of us. We're assuming in our mind. You know, my background, I remember when Pastor Chris is here today, a good friend of ours, when he used to peek out the blinds to see who was outside coming to get him. The cops were out there or whatever. Today we're peeking out the blinds, the disciples are, to see if they're coming to get us, right? The disciples are saying, are you coming? Because I don't want to die like Jesus did. Mary didn't recognize him standing there, I believe, because she was crying. It says she was weeping. So her vision was probably a little blurred. But beyond that, I believe with all my heart that she didn't understand that scripture either. And when she was at the foot of the cross and seen the way Jesus' body was when they removed it to carry it to the tomb, it was unrecognizable. It was unrecognizable to her. He was cut and beaten and bruised. And when she watched them place that body in the tomb and roll that stone over, she just went into mourning and grieving, thinking, there's no way. Now, one of the things that caught my attention about Mary is that she followed them, and it was nighttime when she departed and went back. So I don't know about you, but if I know Steve. Steve can't find his way in the dark. So he gets there and he walks home, and how am I going to get back there? I don't remember. That would have been me. Mary had no problem getting back to the tomb on Sunday morning. She found her way, probably the most direct route to there. And that's when she saw the tomb open and Jesus gone. And she's thinking, how could that be? Who took him? She didn't think that he had risen. She thought that someone had took him because of the condition he was in when he was placed there. So Mary, we're going to back up in Scripture a little bit. In verse 11 in John chapter 20, it says, Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stopped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. And I appreciate, one thing I love about our church and our pastors here, that we are able to instruct each other. And so that passage, PK brought me in and says, I know you've read this and I know you said, and you don't have to use it, but it was so on point that she said, what does that represent? And when you think about it and you look at it, and I'm not going to get into a big theological thing about it because it takes, I don't want to leave anything out, but where were the two angels sitting in the tabernacle above the mercy seat? One at the left and one at the right, at the head and the tail, right? At the head and at the tail. And when she looked in, that's what that was representing. The most holy of holies. Oh my goodness. The most holy of holies, what she was experiencing right there. I couldn't even imagine. So maybe that was in addition to her just being in disarray, her being confused. But she didn't leave. She did not leave the tomb. So that was just a little. I appreciate all of that. And Pastor Dan and everybody talking, saying, this is, you reenacted exactly the way Mary would have responded. And I appreciate that. Because when we look at this, again, there's so much that I don't want to leave anything out, but time only allows us so much. And so that's where the challenge comes into you. Go home and study the scriptures. Because what he did for Mary, he wants to do for you. What he did for me, he wants to do for you. You can't stop Jesus from moving. He's working ahead of you right now. He might even be getting in your ear right now. I know someone came here today right now seeking something. Just as we read, whom do you seek? Jesus asking Mary, who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? Are you looking for Jesus to change something in your life? He has the power, the ability, and the desire to do it. The desire for Jesus to change the world is why he uses us. As I referenced earlier, Jesus is going to use people at different times and different places in your walk to show you who he is. And before I even knew him, he was working in my life. You know, me and my wife have been together 40 years, married 39. We met in a recovery venue. She loves this story. We met in a recovery venue. We're in a big meeting. The meeting room was probably about half this size. And she was on one side of the room. I was on the other. And she had been walking in recovery for a while. I was kind of a newcomer, right? But she looked across the room, and she nudges her friend. Who's that guy over there? And she says, I don't know. She goes, I need to find out because that's the guy for me. And from that day to this, she hasn't taken her eyes off me, right? I'm just telling the truth. I'm not one to lie. I'm just telling the truth. Now, vice versa, I have not taken my eyes off of her. Because to tell the truth, I didn't deserve to have someone like her. I didn't. But God knew. See? He said, I'm going to write the rest of the story. Your story ends here. This chapter is closed. I'm setting you up from here on out. Not the connection, not the liquor store, not the bartender. I'm setting you up from here on out. Trust me. That's the message that's coming through Mary here. Trust God. Trust Jesus. If he did it for her, he'll do it for you. And so I'm sure along the road somewhere, right, Mary, many others, right, we look at all the healings that Mary witnessed, all the miracles as the disciples walked with Jesus. And I can only imagine some of the words that were spoken, maybe from the bystanders, from the naysayers. Just like here, I mentioned personalities and principles. We have to hang on to the principal reasons why we're here, like Mary did. Mary didn't let fear set her apart like the rest of them. She came back and she waited. She wasn't going to let fear hold her back. She knew that our Lord and Savior was the perfect Prince of Peace, that he was the perfect love. And she understood that scripture that said, perfect love casts out all fear. Yeah. So she was there, boldly, waiting to honor her Savior. Yeah. Not knowing the condition, not knowing the outcome, but I believe she went to show that honor. You know, old tradition says that the women, in one gospel it says the women got together and went to anoint him with spice, to give him the final burial, the final honor. And then it says that, in John it says that she went, Mary went by herself, just to show honor, just to grieve, just to love, to show her expression of gratitude. See, we can sit in the pews, or we can stand here and talk about gratitude all day long, but until we put our feet into action, gratitude is just a word. It's a word that requires action, and that's what Mary did. She sat and she waited because she knew. She positioned herself. I want to position myself to be there for everything that Jesus has. But if I'm caught up in worldly things and the gossip that goes around here, we all know that everywhere we go, whether it's work or church or the market, there's gossip going on. Those are the personalities that Jesus says, and Mary said, I'm not going to hear. I'm here because I want to focus on my walk with Jesus. And if I'm focused on my walk with Jesus, then it doesn't matter what the people on the left or the right are saying. Because I know that my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is going to lead me down the path that I need to follow. He's writing the book, right? I'm no longer writing the book. There were years in my life, there were years in your life that you wrote the next chapter and the next chapter and the next chapter. And for me, I can't speak for you. Every chapter came to a disastrous conclusion. One disarray after another. I could never get it right until I walked into a relationship with Jesus. When there's a desire in your heart for better, and when there's a desire in your heart to want to change, because you know that you've been wearing a mask and fighting battles that aren't yours, or you shouldn't fight, or starting fights that you shouldn't, and that desire comes strong, you know, I can imagine Mary sitting there thinking, who knows what she went through? You know, she came from a town called Magdala, where it was famous for prostitution. I'm not saying that Mary was a prostitute, but where she came from, so people around her were like, hey, Mary's a prostitute. She didn't pay any attention to that, but I'm sure she heard that. I'm sure she heard, and I'm sure there were many days or many nights where she wept, thinking, why do people be so mean to me? Why are people so cruel? But when Jesus healed her of that and set her free, she's like, man, I'm never turning back. The only way I'll walk through that path again is to carry the message to somebody. The only reason. So I say that, and like I said, I don't want to put any cut on what Jesus is doing here. There's so much. There's so much that he did through Mary. There's so much that he did through the other disciples. And there's so much truth to what he spoke. But what I'm here to tell you is that don't tune your ear out. Jesus is speaking to you. You came here seeking. You might be at home praying and seeking. Listen for that still small voice. Listen for that voice that's going to get in your ear. Or listen to that person that he's placed in your life to help you change your direction. Because God uses people in a mighty way. In a mighty way. I remember overdosing and going to PK, I'll know where this place is, Fairmont Hospital in San Leandro, and they've got me on a 72-hour psych hold, right? Coming out of the craziness, you know, I look up and there's this, I thought it was a nurse, it was a little psych tech, and she started witnessing to me. She started telling me about how she used to be just like me. And at first I'm thinking, yeah, right, come on, you get paid here. You know, I know how to out-talk psychiatrists. I was good at it. And she's like, I'm being serious. She said, God made a way for me, and he wants to make a way for you. The seed was planted. I was 18 years old when that happened. It didn't end for me then, but I never forgot that. And I'm sure there was times in Mary's life, and I'm sure there was times along the path of ministry that Mary heard Jesus speak those words to other people, or the disciples speaking those words. I'm sure you've heard words spoken into your life by someone who cares, saying, you don't have to do that anymore. God's got a way out. And if you're ready, that might have been the hand that you grabbed onto to pull yourself up. And God used someone to change your life. That's what he does with Mercy and Grace Ministry. He uses Pastor Chris's team to pull life back into those that think that they're lost. That's what was going on here. Jesus took all our sin when he went to the cross. Everything that I did, everything that you have done, everything that I was ashamed of, he took to the cross and shut that door on it, never to reopen it. You know, when we read 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, when the old has passed away and the new has risen up, I'm paraphrasing, that's exactly what that means, is that he shut that door. Jesus doesn't remember our past anymore. We have confessed it to him, and he shut that door on it. And we never have to live that way again. But in the beginning, right? In Genesis, we learned that we have free will, that we have a choice. And if you choose to open that door that Jesus shut, you're going to fight that battle all over again. It's real. I've seen it. I've done it in my past. And it's easier, I'm telling you, it's easier to keep the door shut than try to push it back. Because there's so many demons coming at you, so many spirits coming at you. When you're trying to push that door back, it's a lot harder than when Jesus just shut it. So, in Scripture, it tells us that Jesus, as I read earlier, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Nobody. And that's something, as I started to look at in my life, in the life of the disciples, in the life of Mary. And when he says to Mary, don't cling to me, he's referring, hey, I'm not done yet. Because remember what I told you. When I ascend, I'm going to send one that is greater. That's confusing to me too. How can anything be greater than Jesus? But he said, I'll be with you in the Holy Spirit. Until I come back for you, because I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I come back, until then, the Holy Spirit resides in you. And it will guide you and lead you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Right? Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, seek God. And he will direct your paths. Not paths, but every road that you're going to go down. That's his promise. I've changed this up from the first service a little bit. And I'm here to tell you this. As we wind this up, that I'm grateful today, just like Mary was. Mary was the first person Jesus spoke to after he had risen, because she positioned herself to be there. She wasn't going to give up. A lot of us today let things of the world, personalities that we talked about, influence us, and we fly out of here because you don't want to deal with it. Well, you don't have to deal with anybody. Just get right with Jesus. Get right with Jesus and he'll direct your path. So we speak about how God uses people. I had a premonition when I was running the streets that I was going to die at 25. It didn't matter to me. It really didn't. That's sad, right? It didn't matter to me. At 24, I'd come out of prison. The combination of things were no longer working in my life. And I sat at a park and I said, you know, if there's a God that's going to help me, I need it now. And he put people in my life that I thought would never be there. And as he started that process, he took and he placed me. He didn't place me at the altar here. He placed me in a men's home. Go where God places you. Don't resist. If you're desperate and your desire is to change. And when they picked me up and transported me to this home, I had the time to get healthy physically, to get my mind cleared. And then he used the steps of 12-step recovery to build a bridge. And as I took the steps, I crossed over that bridge and got introduced to Jesus Christ. So don't put any limits on what God wants to do or how he wants to bring you to the cross. He's got a way. He's got a plan. If I would have wrote the script, I would have failed again. God has given me so much, and he wants to give so much to you. Just like he wanted to give so much to Mary. Are you ready? Did you come here seeking somebody today? Are you online seeking somebody today? Are you watching, thinking, is Jesus really going to change my life? Is he capable? Yeah, he doesn't look at your past. Once you mouth the words to him, it's over. Your past is a shut door, never to be reopened by him again. I don't know about you, but I did some pretty crazy things that I didn't want anybody to know about. But my Father doesn't hold that against me. He doesn't hold it against you. I couldn't clean myself up, but he could. So if you're waiting for that right moment, that right time, to get right, now's the time. We always hear, tomorrow's not promised. Yeah, tomorrow's not promised. But you can walk in his glory today. Amen. You can walk in his glory today if that's what you came to see. So I don't put any cut on what Jesus has done in my life. What he's done in my life is my story. He's planted something in you so you can carry a message, and nobody can take that away from you. So I believe that those that come seeking today are ready to hand over their life and start a new life in Christ. I believe that if you're going through something, there's many of us that have gone through situations in life, circumstances in life that have drawn us away. Maybe we're a little distant from Jesus right now. We know him, we know what he's done, but we've put some distance in between us. And maybe we're making some choices that aren't in alignment with his will, right? Maybe we're running on self-will just a little bit, and you want to get right. You want to reconnect. This is an opportunity for you to do that. The recovery book says that we have a daily reprieve contingent on our spiritual connection. It means you got to plug in every time. And you have a part in that. You have to make a choice. Just like Mary made a choice to follow Jesus at all costs. To be all in. Even in the darkest time of her life. I don't know about you, but I don't forget what Jesus has done for me. I don't forget what Jesus has done for my family, for my friends, for the guy doing life behind the walls that has been, as PK said, freer than most of us because of Christ Jesus. I don't forget about those things. I don't forget about the mask that I used to think I had to put on in order to face life. Jesus said, just come to me, just as you are. You don't need a mask. You don't need to get right. You don't need to be right. Sanctification is a process. That's why I love how he placed me in recovery. Because it's a process. I learn something new every day. Because I'm intentional in my walk. I make sure that I'm connected every day in some way, shape, or form. I make sure that if I have a bad day, that I'm on the phone with someone that's in my inner circle. So if you're online or you're here today and you're thinking Jesus is calling you, just raise your hand right now. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed because God just wants to wrap his arms around you. The Lord just wants to wrap his arms around you, love on you unconditionally. That's what he did with me. He used the people around me to love me when I couldn't love myself, when I was disgusted with myself. He said, no, son. You are everything to me. No, daughter, you are everything to me. Come. Come and just be with me. So if you've been out of alignment with him and you want to reconnect, raise your hand. In fact, instead of raising your hand, just come on up here. Come on up to the altar. We want to pray with you. Don't be afraid. You want to give your life to Jesus, come up here on the right. You want to reconnect, come over here to the left, your right. The altar team's going to come up here. There'll be people to pray with you. But I'm telling you, as you stand here, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, he who began a good work in you, he's begun a good work in you, and he will not bring it to fruition. In other words, we're going to be a work in progress, and it's going to be easier for me and for you by just surrendering our wills to God's will. The simple surrender. And say, Lord, you can do better with my life than I have. And I trust you. So let's bow our heads. And if you want to give your life to Jesus today, just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you died for my sins. That you took my sin to a level that I couldn't take it myself. And cleansed me of my unrighteousness. And I believe that you died for me. I believe in my heart that you resurrected and brought life back to me so I could have life and have it abundantly. So today I give my life to you. And I ask that you come into my heart and continue from this day on to lead me and to guide me down every path that I will lead. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer, give yourself a round of applause and get ready. Get ready for the best experience of your life. Oh, be prepared to fight a battle, but also get ready because God has got so much that he wants to lay before you and pave the way for each and one of you. And if you need to reconnect, just raise your hands and say, Jesus, I've been out of relationship with you. And I stand before you today confessing that my ways haven't got me down the road that I need to travel. So I ask for you to reconnect. Come back into my heart and direct my path. Forgive me for questioning. And let me receive all that you have for me from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give yourself a round of applause. Jesus wants to do something good. PK, turn it over. Amen.
So thankful for Pastor Gary and his insight. You know, a couple of takeaways for me today is position yourself. Position yourself. Don't drift. Don't drift too far away from Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. Amen. Keep your eyes on him because he knows you by name. He sees you. Amen. So as people continue to pray here at the altars, if you'd stand to your feet. Heavenly Father, I just pray over my family, and I pray that this week as we go our way, we would recognize, God, your nearness. We would not forget to make sure that we are near you, that we don't drift or get caught up in the chaos or even the grief, but we stay connected and close. As you continue to reveal to us our purpose and our destiny, you know us by name. And I pray as we leave this place this week, we would recognize how important it is to share the message of mercy and grace and salvation to the lost. What have we got to lose, God? I pray in Jesus' name for a holy boldness to come over this body, and that we would recognize what we're called to, and that's to share the message, just as Mary did. We love you today, God, and until we meet again, we trust you to keep us in your care. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you, family. We love you. See you next week. See you Wednesday.